Good morning. It's so good to see everybody here today. We want to welcome all of you that are with us today on this 14th Sunday after Pentecost. And we've come to gather together to worship. You know what? I have to say, I'm pleasantly surprised at the number of people that are here on a holiday weekend. So it's so good to see all of you, and we want to welcome you. And a little bit later on, we're going to be concluding our series on wisdom for living from the book of Proverbs. And that will happen a little bit later on as I talk about our words today, our words. And so let's begin by standing together and joining and singing our Gloria Patria.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, it's now and ever shall be, without end.
Well, let's join together for our call to worship in the bulletin this morning. Have you heard the good news?
Christ calls us to be people of light.
Have you experienced the good news?
Christ offers us God's love and grace.
Have you lived the good news?
Christ dwells among us as we gather in His name.
Come, let us worship the Lord. Let's do that this morning. You can turn in your hymn books, hymn number 51, or you can follow along on the PowerPoint as we sing the first, second, third, and fifth verse of Crown Him with Many Crowns.
Crown Him with many crowns, the Lamb upon Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns all music but its own. Awake, my soul, and sing of Him who died for thee, and hail Him as thy matchless King through all eternity. Crown Him the Lord of love, behold His hands and am the Lord of year, the potentate of time, creator of the rolling spheres, ineffably sublime. All hail, Redeemer, hail, for thou hast died for me. Thy praise and glory shall not fail throughout eternity.
Well, let's join together there in a bulletin for our opening prayer. Draw us together this day, O Lord. Transform us as we experience your presence and your love. Open our hearts and our spirits to receive strength and peace. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. You can turn to 284 next, or you can sing along on the PowerPoint this morning, soon and very soon.
Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah. No more crying there, we are going to see the King. No more crying there, we are going to see the King. No more crying there, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. Dying there, we are going to see the King. No more dying there, we are going to see the King. No more dying there, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King.
That's one of those hymns that we sing with it by clapping.
Yes.
Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King.
He said no hallelujah.
No, I meant at the end of the hymn. Sorry, we miscommunicated. So I'm going to invite our kids this morning if they would make their way down.
I'm going to need a Kleenex today. How's everybody doing this morning?
Good.
All right. Hey, I got something I want to do this morning. Come on. Yes. Does anybody know what this is? What is that?
Toothpaste.
That's right. Toothpaste. What do we use toothpaste to do? Yeah, we use it to clean or brush our teeth, don't we? Now, I have a question for you this morning. So if I squirt out this toothpaste onto here, see it? There it is. So I squirted it out in there. You can see it. Now, does anybody want to try to put it back in here? Do you think you can get that back in here? You probably have to have a tiny, tiny little spoon, wouldn't you? Do we have spoons that small? Now, I forgot to bring it this morning, but I thought maybe we could use a toothpick. Do you think we could use a toothpick to get the toothpaste back in there? You think we could? We might. But guess what? It would be very hard, wouldn't it? And so, you know what that says? Once we put out the toothpaste, you can't get it back in, can you? You can't get it back in there. What do we normally do when we finish brushing our teeth with the toothpaste that's in our mouth?
You spit it out.
Yeah, we spit it out into the sink, don't we? Rinse it down the sink. Well, guess what? We're talking about our words today. I'm going to talk with the adults this morning. Sometimes when we say something, guess what? We can't take it back, can we?
No.
We can't take it back. Once we've said it, it's out there. So if you call somebody at school a bad name, guess what?
That's bad.
It's stuck out there, isn't it? They heard it. You can't get it back in your mouth, can you?
No.
They heard it. And so that's why in the book of Proverbs, it tells us to watch what we say with our mouths. Now, how do we do that? Do we just never say anything? Do we just keep our mouths quiet and never say anything?
Now you can say good words.
Ah, very good. There you go. Yes. We can say good words. That's exactly right. Or maybe here's another one. We think before we say something. Have you ever just blurted out something real fast and you're like, oh, no. Why did I say that?
Please, no.
Yeah. I know us adults do that, don't we? Adults, is that true? Yes. So we need to think a little bit about it. Yes, we do. And we need to say the good things. That's right. And guess what? I believe Jesus wants to help us do that. And so maybe if we ask Him to help us to say good things, positive things, encouraging things, nice things, then I think He'll do that. All right? Okay, you can go on downstairs this morning. And I think Miss Rhea has you. Miss Rhea has you this morning with the kids.
Well, as they are going downstairs, we are going to go to our time of prayer this morning. And maybe you have a joy or concern that you would like to share this morning. Somebody. Yes.
We've had a great week. We've had lots of cars connected to the whole park of San Francisco. And if we can get to a point, we'll be there in 7 years.
I don't know if anybody heard her or not. But she said something about all the cards they got for their anniversary in how many years?
70.
70, yes. 70 years, yes. Your daughter-in-law got a hold of me at the fair about that. So we were planning some sneaking things behind, and thankfully a couple of the ladies took control of that while we were gone and made sure that that went out. But yes, so what a wonderful thing. Somebody else, joys or concerns this morning? We're going to prayer, yeah. Okay. So we want to remember the Ben Dixon family for the loss of that loved one. Someone else. Yep. Okay. We'll go this on this side first. Yep. Go ahead.
John Schaefer, my husband, had a blood
Oh, okay. Well, we want to keep John in our prayers. Is everything better, or is there going to be one of those where it's going to take a while to dissolve it? Like, okay. I know a lot of times the medicine can take a while to eventually dissolve it and it gets going. So, yeah. Go ahead. Okay. So traveling, yes. And I'm sure there's others that are traveling this weekend for the holiday. And definitely want to pray for all those that will be on the road. Someone else? Yes. Okay, we can do that. Somebody else? Yes. Unspoken? Anybody else? Yes. Okay. We understand that. Asking for prayers for Mary under hospice care. Not totally end of life yet, but that beginnings of that hospice. And yes, and we do appreciate hospice when they do that early on like that for us. Yes. What is his first name?
Tom,
okay. So we want to remember Tom in our prayers this morning. Somebody else? Anyone else this morning? Yes. Yes, I appreciate your prayers for Jody's parents and Bruce and Carol and the family. As in the next here few weeks, they're going to be transitioning into Story Point. And so it's just a lot going on there. And appreciate your prayers and also for them, too. So, somebody else? Anybody else? All right. Well, we want to give you a chance to pray there quietly in your seats as she plays. Maybe if a few of these names come to your mind, or maybe there's a specific need in your life or heart or somebody you know that you didn't want to mention, and you can bring them up to the Lord as she plays, and then I'll come and close us out. We are so grateful today that you invite us not only into your presence, not only to bring our petitions before you, but to trust you. And we pray today that as we bring the needs of our own selves, the needs of others that have been mentioned, Lord, that we would come and trust you and have faith that you are the one that will take care of it all. Sometimes life can be shaky and scary and fearful and overwhelming. But Jesus, you told us to not to worry, not to be concerned, but to trust our Heavenly Father who loves us and cares so abundantly for every need in our lives and in the lives of others. So, Lord, we lift up the needs of those that were mentioned today. Lord, we lift up John with the blood clots, God, that there would be healing and deliverance as he goes through the treatment to break that clot up. We pray for Tammy as she goes into court, God, that you'll just give favor and wisdom and let everything work out there. We pray for Mary, Lord, this morning, God, that and the family, that you would grant your grace. We pray for Tom this morning, God, that your hand would be extended there. We pray for those that are traveling. And God, we just pray that you will give traveling mercies to the one that was mentioned, but also to others that are traveling this weekend, and watch over them. Lord, we pray for Bruce and Carol and the family, God. We ask for your grace and your comfort over the weeks to come and the months. And as they make that transition, Lord, we pray that you will grant them your grace and help there. We lift up the Ben Dixon family, God, with the loss of this loved one. Lord, we just pray for your comfort and your peace and your hand of love upon them. And be with them, we pray. Lord, we pray for this unspoken need that was mentioned this morning. God, that you would just grant your grace there and your hand to be upon them. And Lord, we also lift up maybe others, the other needs, other concerns that maybe could not be mentioned. Maybe they, as they lifted up their own prayers a moment ago while Carla played, Lord, that you would just grant your hand there in those situations, and that you would meet needs as only you can do. And Lord, we continue to lift up those on our monthly list, so many of them that are battling cancer and going through treatments, and others with life-altering diseases, God. We just pray for your healing touch and your guidance and your wisdom and faith and strength, that you will be with all of them. And Lord, I pray for those today that need peace. Lord, that's just laying heavy on my heart right now, and I pray that you would extend the peace that passes all understanding to those that need that today. God, give them assurance in their heart that you have everything under control and that we can trust in you. And we thank you for that today. Lord, continue to bless our service today, the rest of our service, Lord, especially as we break the bread of your word. May you once again teach us and equip us and challenge us to be your disciples in this world. As we ask all of these things today in the name of Jesus, our Savior, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Incline thine ear to us and grant us thy peace. Well, thank you for joining us in prayer this morning. And now we want to worship the Lord with our giving and our offering today. Thank you so much for your faithfulness and giving each week. It continues the work of our local church here and our further missions projects as we reach out into our community and world. And so as our ushers come this morning, God bless you as you give today. Thank you. Join with me for our prayer of dedication in the bulletin. Gracious God, you have called us to give with a cheerful heart. Bless this offering so that it reflects the work of your kingdom. Through Christ we pray. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. Our scripture reading this morning, once again, is coming from several verses from the book of Proverbs, and I won't try to tell you all of them. You can, if you have the sermon outline, if you happen to grab it this morning, you can follow along there and also see it on the PowerPoint this morning. So let's begin. With lots of words come offense, but the wise restrain their lips. From the fruit of the mouth, one is filled with good things, and manual labor has its reward. Those who state the truth speak justly, but a false witness deceives. Sharp words cut like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. A gentle answer deflects anger, but harsh words make tempers flare. Gentle words are a tree of life. A deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. From a wise mind comes wise speech. The words of the wise are persuasive. Kind words are like honey, sweet to the soul and healthy for the body. Wise are those who restrain their talking. People with understanding are cool-headed. Fools who keep quiet are deemed wise. Those who shut their lips are smart. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Those who love it will eat its fruit. Those who guard their mouths and their tongues guard themselves from trouble. Words spoken at the right time are like gold apples in a silver setting. With patience, a ruler may be persuaded, and a soft tongue can break bones. That is God's word for us this morning, and I pray that God would add his blessing to the reading of the word, and that the Spirit would give us ears to hear what God wants to say to us this morning. Amen. And amen. Well, you know, I like to share something funny. Please don't throw stones at me. But I did think this one was funny. The day after her husband disappeared in a kayaking accident, a Canadian woman answered her door to find two grim Mounties. "We're sorry, ma'am, but we have some information about your husband," one of the Mounties said. "Tell me, did you find him?" The Mounties looked at each other. One said, "We have some bad news, some good news, and some really great news. Which do you want to hear first?" Fearing the worst, the wife said, "Give me the bad news first." The Mountie says, "I'm sorry to tell you, this morning we have found your husband's body in the bay." "Oh my," she exclaimed, swallowing hard. "Well, what's the good news?" The Mountie continued, "Well, we pulled him up, and he had 25-pound snow crabs and 6 good-sized lobsters clinging to him." Stunned, the wife said, "Well, if that's the good news, then what's the great news?" The Mountie said, "We're going to pull him up again tomorrow." I told you, don't throw stones. Okay, yes, I may have a warped sense of humor. I want to talk to you this morning about the power of our words. The power of our words. Today is the last message in our series on wisdom for living from the book of Proverbs. 2 weeks ago, we looked at the wisdom of friendship. The wisdom of friendship. We considered the uniqueness of friendships and the mark of an ideal friend. Today, we are looking at the power of our words. Now, this is an extremely difficult subject regarding the use and misuse of words. In fact, it's so difficult in our lives, I want you to hear how the book of James refers to this and talks about it. James chapter 3, verse 2 says, "We all make many mistakes. If people never said anything wrong, they would be perfect and able to control their entire selves." Think about that for a minute. James is saying we all make mistakes in life. But only a person that can completely control their tongue and what they say, if they can do that, they are perfect. Well, guess what? Nobody can do that. Nobody can do that. And it just reminds us how challenging this subject is. We probably grew up hearing this famous statement, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me." Well, obviously that is not true, is it? Words do hurt. And learning to speak wisely is so important in our lives, as we're going to see this morning. So we're going to ask that question, why? Why is it so important that we learn? And we're going to look at it in two ways. First of all, we're going to say that words have consequences. Now, I don't think any of us are going to be surprised by that. Let me read again. "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it eat its fruit." Our words matter because if we choose good uses of them, we will enjoy the fruit of that when we use it in that way. Thus, our words, as Proverbs says a little bit later on, our words can either trap us, get us in trouble, or our words can protect us and be a blessing in our lives. So let's look at this about words having consequences. First thing I want you to see, on the one hand, words can harm. Words can harm. Listen to this from Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18. "Speaking recklessly is like the thrust of a sword." Have you ever seen, you've probably seen old movies where they thrust the sword into somebody. What we say can tear down. What we say can discourage. What we say can cripple. What we say can harm. Rash, reckless, cutting remarks can damage people. Sharp words cut like a sword. Why did the sage use the sword image for? Why did that person use that metaphor? Well, when a sword goes in, it cuts, doesn't it? First of all. And when it's pulled out, you bleed. There's a wound. And if you can get that wound fixed, what's left? A scar. Yes. So think about how our words affect other people. If you think about it, words have started wars. Words have led people to commit suicide. And you know, and I don't know if you've paid attention to this, but with social media, we hear stories about that now. Before, we didn't know some of the reasons why people committed suicide. Words have branded people for life. You're stupid. You're ugly. You're fat. And I could just keep going on. You get the idea. Words can hurt. Words can harm. On the other hand, words can heal. Words can heal. Listen to this. From the fruit of the mouth, or from the result of our speaking or our words, one is filled with good things. That is a good thing, isn't it? Or the words of the wise bring healing. Or kind words are like honey, sweet to the soul and happy for the body. So in other words, what we say can lift up, encourage, strengthen, soothe, heal, restore. I mean, you know, when I think of that word heal and soothe and all of that, I think about our kids or maybe your grandkids or your great-grandkids. And when they come to you and they fell and they got hurt, what do? You hug them. You love them. You soothe them. Now, sometimes us dads will say, get up, you're all right, you're tough, you know. But what does moms do? They hug, they soothe. And our words can do that too in so many ways. And not only that, they soothe and heal, but they can restore and enhance life. Such words are described metaphorically as a life-giving tree or a sweet honeycomb. Think about those images for a minute. A life-giving tree, that apple tree in your yard that you grab something off of and eat, or that peach tree or whatever it may be, or that honeycomb, if you like honey. Words have consequences. Words can harm. Words can heal. Second thing I want us to see, and I don't think we often think of it this way, but words have character. And those that character of the words flows from our character. I can't go into it this morning, but Jesus has a whole teaching on that in the Sermon on the Mount, where he talks about that. So let's look at some of this characteristics here, and you'll see I think there's four of them I have listed for you there on the sermon outline. First thing we want to talk about is honest words. Honest words are authentic and reliable. Listen to this. Those who testify honestly speak faithfully, but a false witness deceives. Truthful lips establish permanence, while false words soon fade. What's that all saying? It's saying that our words must be authentic and reliable, and when they are, they endure. Not only do they endure, but they establish reality. They make a difference in people's lives. When we speak those words to people, it changes. Sometimes we may say the right word at the right time, and it changes a person's life forever. While falsehoods and deception and all of those things soon fade because they're a facade. They're not reality. Why? Because Proverbs tells us deception destroys community and ruins people's lives. And we've seen that. We've heard stories about it, you know, in so many ways. And what's the other one? Kind words. Kind words are gentle and considerate. We know this one. We probably heard it before. A gentle answer turns away anger, but harsh words make tempers flare. Gentle words are a tree of life. There's that tree of life image. With patience, a ruler may be persuaded, and gentle words can break bones. Now, when I read that earlier, I was wondering how many thought, what? How can gentle words break bones? Well, I'm going to tell you what that idiom means here in a second. Our words must be gentle and considerate. Gentle words, from what I just read there, have the ability to turn back rage. And here's where the broken bones image comes in. Gentle words have the ability to break down rigid barriers. You know, some of you ladies here, not so much the men, my mom was this way. In her 50s, her bones were weaker.
She was not a big milk drinker. She didn't get a lot of calcium and vitamin D and different things she needed. So she took supplements. What happens if we don't do that?
Our bones become what?
Weak and brittle. Weak and brittle. And they break easy.
So what this is saying is that gentle words have a way of breaking down barriers between people where they're hardened against each other. Again, our words enhance life and how important they are. They not only break down barriers, but they can heal because gentle words, kind words are motivated by love and life. Because harsh words inflict pain. People may not show it, but such pain leaves wounds and scars. I've often thought of this, and it's not easy when you're in the middle of a battle with somebody. But we may win the battle of words, and in the end, lose the war. Our language must be kind and gentle. Third thing is fitting words. Fitting words. Fitting words are appropriate and timely. Listen to this. The lips of the wise knows what is acceptable. Words spoken at the right time are like gold apples in a silver setting. Couple things I think is being said there. First of all, our words must be hearable. You know, when I talk to Chase, I talk to him in a different way than I do the kids at school. Why is that? Because Chase is my son. I can talk to him in a harsher way and hopefully he gets the point or whatever it may be. I'm getting the look right now. You can't see it. But as opposed to, so, you know, we know how sometimes we got to talk to people in a certain way. And wise words should fit the person we are talking to. Listen to me. Great coaches know this. Great coaches know this. There are kids that you got to chew them out to get them motivated to play. But there are other kids, if you chew out, they shut down. They don't play. They're not motivated. It's just the opposite. And you got to know who you need to praise and you got to know who you can get on to a little bit. That's what we're talking about, fitting words. And that's true with our kids and grandkids and people we work with. If you're a supervisor, people you work with, there's some people you can jump on them and they'll, okay, I got it. I'll take care of it. And others, you can't do that to. You got to encourage them and say different types of words to them. And our words may be true in all of those situations, but here's the other thing. If they're not spoken at the right time, they could just fall on deaf ears. Preachers know what that's about. Preachers know that. Not only is it knowing what God wants us to preach, but it's also about timing. When do we preach this message? When do we not? You know, I've sat on messages for almost a year before. And there's sometimes we just need to know when the right time is to share a certain message. And then the last one there is limited words are few and effective. With lots of words comes wrongdoing, but the wise restrain their lips. Wise are those who restrain their talking. Fools who keep quiet are deemed wise. Those who shut their lips are smart. I read those earlier. Here's what it's saying. Our words often need to be few but effective. Talking too much may get us into trouble. I was talking to Chase in the car the other day. I think I picked him up from school and we got talking and I said, yep, I said, I'm going to be preaching a message Sunday and there's going to be four fingers pointing back at me while I'm preaching because this is a hard subject for me. If you know me, I do talk too much and I tend to say too many things and sometimes what I say gets me in trouble and I don't know if it's like the professor I had in college, but the older he got, The more he talked, the worse things came out of his mouth that he should have not been saying. I don't know if you had anybody like that before. And I tell you what, I envy people. There's people right here in this congregation that are people of few words, but when they speak, it's usually wisdom. And I envy that. If you are that kind of a person, because of your personality and the way God made you and everything, don't let that hinder you from speaking up at times. But yes, so true. Let me close out by saying this and reading from a passage that really struck me this week. And it reminded me so much of what Jesus talked about on the Sermon on the Mount. Proverbs 16:22. From a wise mind, or some translations say heart. And remember what we said when we began this series. The heart is not our feelings or our emotions. The heart is where we reason things out, make decisions, and commit to it. The mind, most often we think of. From a wise mind comes wise words. What's that saying? It's saying that words flow from our minds and hearts, obviously. Wise words flow from a wise mind and heart. So I began to think about that for a minute. By changing the focus of our thoughts, we will see a change in our words. What's on our minds? What's on our hearts today? Fear, worry, doubt, anger, concern. And not only that, but here's two more questions. What are we feeding our minds on? Things that make us angrier? Things that make us worry more? What kind of focus, or where is the focus of our thoughts? And I, as I was thinking about that, I was thinking we have to change the focus of our thoughts if we want our words to be different. And Paul in Romans chapter 12 talks about the renewing of our minds. And I started to think about that. Why do we have our minds renewed? So that our words will be different. And then we can follow all those instructions he gave in the church about being sincere and gentle and loving and full of the fruit of the Spirit and all those kind of things. Here's my challenge for us this morning, and this includes me too. Give those anxious thoughts, those arrogant thoughts, those angry thoughts, those conflicting thoughts, those fearful thoughts, those doubting thoughts, those foolish thoughts, those bad thoughts to Jesus today. He will help us if we ask him. He knows what's on our minds, and he knows what we are experiencing and going through and facing in life. Wise words and the power of them. Amen. Amen. Well, let's just take a couple minutes or so and greet one another, shake a few hands, or if you would like to follow George's advice from last week and hug somebody, we'll let you do that too. Thank you. if you want to use the hymn book, or you can sing along with us. We're going to be singing this first, second, and fourth verse of our little chorus here.
Jesus, we just want to thank you. Jesus, we just want to thank you. Jesus, we just want to thank you. Thank you for being so good. Jesus, we just want to praise you. Jesus, just want to praise you. Jesus, we just want to praise you. Praise you, being so good. Savior, we just want to serve you. Savior, we just want
Let's join together there for our benediction. God's presence goes with us wherever we go. May the blessing of God be with us, the peace of Christ be in us, and the wisdom of the Spirit guide us along our path. Amen. Get up.
Yeah.
She's ready.